morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 22, reading the third full paragraph, beginning with "Perhaps there will never be a full answer," ending with "We cannot answer the riddle." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Dana P. reading the text, Sherry Z. reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, May 29th, 2024, is 21,445 or 21445. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,447 or 21447. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Patty F., a compulsive overeater. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives would become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory moment of wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F., and I'll now ask Carol B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. My name is Carol B., compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. These are the 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of radio, films, and television and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a wonderfully abstinent day, everyone. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 22, and there is a solution. We're going to read the third full paragraph, beginning with, "Perhaps there will never be a full answer," ending with, "We cannot answer the riddle." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Dana P. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. Hello, my friend. I'm so, so ecstatic we're in this chapter, There Is a Solution. It's funny. So I'm going to go ahead and read the paragraph that has a big fat star right next to it. Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. Opinions vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. We are not sure why. Once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. You know, it's a funny thing, and please time me, because, boy, I could just go on and on about this paragraph. In this book, the word why, this book and the 12 by 12 is 94 times the question of why. Well, I asked that question of why many, many more than 94, let me tell you. And it just occurred to me that perhaps, right? So we make suggestions, and perhaps is maybe, that I could answer the question of why, and that would be the solution to my problem. And certainly, many of the answers to that question of why, as to when I was 17 and I went on a crazy diet, that something happened to my brain, and that is scientifically proven by studies that I read about concentration camp victims who, even when they were back to a quote-unquote normal, they still obsessed with food. Well, that was my problem, right? This word riddle. When I looked up this word riddle, the first definition came up was to make many holes in something or someone, especially with a gunshot. Well, I could go off on a tangent with that one, but it makes me think of the time that my father fired off a shotgun next to my head. And when I turned around, I saw all the little holes that it made in the wall and thought about the birds and what my uncle did with the birds with that gun, you know, all full of buckshot, and how traumatizing that was for me. Well, maybe that was the reason. You know, I could go on and on about all of these answers to the question of why, but that really the question of why isn't what matters. It's the question of what now and how to, and essentially that answer is in step two. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So every time I want to go to that question of why now, I think, okay, some more information is cool and insight is cool, but really what I need to do is turn to a power greater than myself and ask what and how, what and how. And that is the answer to my question of why, what and how, and what was it that you would have me do, God, and what was it that you would have me be in this circumstance. So I'm excited to hear what other people have to say. There's lots in this paragraph. Thanks so much, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Dana P. So we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up, and when you hear the timer, please finish up promptly. So I'm going to ask for first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Was that Monique F.?
Nick.
Tara B.
N-I-C-K. Nick.
Neek, sorry. And that was Neek. What was your last initial?
F, Tennessee.
Okay, gotcha. And then I got Kara B. And then who was after Kara? Can I hear somebody else wanting to get in?
Gary K., California.
Oh,
Julie.
Gary K.?
Julie P., Minnesota.
I've got you, Julie. And anyone else want to get in on this first lineup? All right. I've got Meek S. from Tennessee, Kara B., California, Gary K., California, and Julie P. from Minnesota. Meek, you'll be up first, followed by Kara B.
Hi, family. Good morning. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Sure, and I am a compulsive overeater. Sure, I love this paragraph. What I got wrote out by the side is that I got it underlined, right? Perhaps there will never be a full answer to these questions. And then I got wrote out to the side the if onlys and the whys. You know, if only I had more money, if only I had a better job, the great relationship. If only, and why, like the disease helped me to get to 400 pounds by helping me look at all these other things. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what the why or the if only is, that when I turn to God, because God has saved and changed my life, that none of that other bullshit matters. What matters is that I get into this place of being clean and putting ingredients in my body that help me to feed myself and nourish my mind, body, and spirit in the way that I have a solution. I can work in the solution of changing the trajectory of the generations that come after me. My children don't have to hurt like I hurt. You know, my family, we don't have to be broke the way that I, you know, struggled in the past, because now I'm abstinent and I'm able to walk and live in the solution. You know, I get to not look at my differences of everybody else, but walking this powerful similarity of that I am a compulsive overeater. I will die and kill myself in the food, but with this solution, with the big book, with God, with vision, with the meetings, with all of the 9 tools, you know, that I get to create new tools of ways and how God will continue to save my life every single day. I get to fall in love over and over again every single day in this new life. I don't have to blame anybody or any circumstance ever again. I get to discipline. I get to allow God to discipline me, to set a timer to write and meditate, to set a timer to look into the big book and look up definitions. And I say set a timer because, you know, it talks about how I'm undisciplined and God gets to discipline me in this way. So I've had psych diagnosis, so many and so many different medications. That doesn't matter now. I'm not using any kind of crutch today. I'm digging and I'm crawling and I'm praying and I'm singing and I'm going after this God that has taken away over 220 pounds in what's my abstinence date? March 25th, 2021. My body weight has continued to go down, down, down. Dress sizes. I didn't want to hang on to a 5X. I gave that shit away as soon as possible. The 4X, the 3X, the 2X, the 1X. I gave those clothes away. I never have to go back to those again. The largest. I gave that away. I never have to go back to that again. You know, I get to live in the spirit of the now and the here, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is within me, and I get to just live and be free and challenge every old idea and challenge every tradition and challenge every superstition that I've ever had and
Nikesh, time.
Be free. Okay, thank you. With that, I pass. I love you all so much. Thank you for your service. Goodbye.
Well, thank you so much, Nick S. in Tennessee. Next up, we've got Kara B., followed by Gary K.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the share so far. My name is Kara B., and I'm calling from Michigan. And I also wondered why I have this disease. There's a whole bunch of reasons why that I found out, but that didn't change the fact that I couldn't stop. As it indicates in other places in the book, the whole self-knowledge, he thought that self-knowledge would be the answer for him as well. Doesn't stop me from picking up the food, so it doesn't matter why. What matters is I know it's not right. I know that if I don't take my spiritual medicine and pick up the spiritual tools that are laid at my feet, I cannot recover. I have to have a power greater than myself in order to stop hurting myself with food and in order for me to be okay, to have any kind of sanity. And so that's the only thing that really matters. It's not the why. It's the, as was indicated before, the what and the how. And thank heaven this book explains to me how and what. And I can pick these tools up. And I don't have to try and figure it all out. That's not one of the steps. I can just do what I know works. And I'm so grateful that it does. I'm so grateful that I can step outside of the bondage and remain free from the bondage of this insidious disease that wants me dead. So the why doesn't matter. I'm just so grateful that there is a way out and there is a solution. And for that, I'm just so grateful. And I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Kara B. from Michigan. Next up, Gary K., followed by Julie P.
Hello, all. Gary K. here in San Luis Obispo, California. I don't have much to say other than this might sound sick to the outside people outside of 12-step programs, but I'm so grateful I have this disease. And the why part is, I would say that several times to my sponsors in this program, other programs, and they pretty much just direct me, go see your therapist, and they'll find out the why there. And it was just simple, just keep doing the program, keep doing all the things that they suggest in this program, and you'll be fine. And for what it was worth, of course, I went to my therapist and asked why several times, and they couldn't help me with that either. You know, it's like it doesn't matter. So, thanks for being there. Thanks for letting me share. Everyone, have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Gary K. from California, and Julie P. You're up next.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am definitely a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I just really want to thank you all for being here this morning because you all understand what it's like to be a compulsive overeater. And the thing that I'm definitely honing in on this morning is why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. My husband, who is not a compulsive overeater, just did not understand why I threw Triscuits in the woods. perfectly good Triscuits in the woods. And I got reamed a new one because it was like throwing money away. And after my two-way prayer this morning, dealing with my pain of this addiction, my higher power told me to tell my husband to be vulnerable and to tell him what it's like and why I had to throw Triscuits in the woods, because one day I can eat a Triscuit and the next day I can't. And that's how my addiction is. It doesn't matter why, because it just is. There is no answer to the cunning, powerful, and baffling nature of this disease. And I have to be willing to do what I have to do. And if that means being vulnerable with my husband about what it's like to live on a daily basis without my higher power, if I live in my addiction, I will die like my mother and have to be hoisted with a sling in the nursing home because she couldn't stand on her own. I don't want to die that way. I don't want to die in my addiction. So I'm going to choose to keep coming back and connecting with the sunlight of the spirit, because that's the only chance I have. Oh, thank you all for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Keith from Minnesota. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where you're at, where we're at. We're on page 22. We read the third full paragraph that begins with, "Perhaps there will never be a full answer," ending with, "We cannot answer the riddle." And we read and were commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I'm going to take another lineup. And if, you know, please be aware, if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your shared 3 minutes, and I'll remind you when your time is up. So if you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, who would like to share? Do you have anyone who'd like to share on that paragraph? We got lots of time.
Hi, this is Anne from Vancouver, Canada. I would like to share.
All right, Anne, I've got you. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lorraine M. from California.
And was that an M, Lorraine?
M as in Mary.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Donna P., Montana.
I've got you, Donna.
Janice K., Oregon.
I've got you, Janice. Is anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup? All right. I've got Anne. And Anne, when it's your turn, if you can let us know your last initial as well. I've got Anne, Lorraine M, Donna B, and Janice K. And Anne, you're up first, followed by Lorraine M.
Hi, thank you. My name is Anne SCH in British Columbia, Canada, where I'm calling in from. And for me, this is about questions to God that only He knows the answer to. And anytime, it's like the mystery of God. And for me, I have to go in faith. God's got me. He's got my abstinence. He's got my program. And I have to, when I place my faith in Him for taking care of me, I find that I don't need to question what my food plan is or what I'm doing with my day, because it's all laid out. It's really simple. It's kind of like way back in the beginning of you know, the first century, is there was a big division in religious thinking because over how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. So if you can think about doing a 10th step about how many angels are on the head of a pin, this would be something along that line in answering that question. Because the phrase is, we cannot answer the riddle. So I can't answer the riddle. We can talk about the riddle because it impacts us. And that riddle is, I don't know, I've heard other people in program talk about the riddle, and for some reason, I hung that apron up many years ago. And the reason I did that is that was the only way I was going to get abstinent. Because if I didn't turn it over, my alcoholic foods, because I kept hitting the wall, kept hitting my head against the wall, trying to get abstinent, trying to find a way out, that was I. But when God finally revealed to me what I needed to do to solve my issue, which was to give up these foods, that everything just kind of fell into place. But I just gave up that riddle. And when I say gave it up, I gave it back to God. I didn't sort of give it up myself. I just gave it back to Him. So anything that really bothers me about life, about my program, about anything to do with seeking a full answer to life's questions, I just give it all back to God. And then ask the question, God, please reveal to me, if you will, whatever you need to tell me about this particular issue, person, place, or thing. So it's like a constant dialogue between myself and God, who I call my God, and many call higher power.
That's
so
in.
Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Anne SCH from Canada. Next up, Lorraine M, followed by Donna P.
Good morning. This is Lorraine M from California. I want to thank everyone for being here today. Really grateful for having this meeting every morning. When I'm looking at this, you know, there are a lot of things that come to mind, and I know one of them was at one point when I was parenting, I was talking about tough love and going to a tough love group. And in that group, that was one of the main things. It's like, it doesn't matter why your kids are behaving this way. The thing is, they can't do this anymore. It's, you know, harmful for them. It's harmful for the family. And, you know, as far as my eating habits, my compulsive eating, my food addiction, I spent years trying to figure out why. You know, my addict brain analyzing this, analyzing that. But because of my mental twist, you know, that often leads to self-pity and feeling sorry for myself. But, you know, this happened, that happened. Why me? Why me? God, why is this happening to me? Thinking back then in those days. But the thing I learned today, just from being in the program, is, you know what? It doesn't matter why, because my higher power is there to guide me and say, hey, come on, let's go. You can have a joyful life. Follow the steps. I don't have to wonder why. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to try and control my life or everyone else around it. I can release all of that baggage in trying to figure out why and follow the program and connecting with HP every day, as well as the fellowship. So thank you so much for listening. Super grateful for everyone that answers outreach calls every day. It's such a blessing.
Well, thank you so much, Lorraine M. from California. And next up is Donna P., followed by Janice K.
Good morning, Donna P. in Montana. I'm grateful back in 1989, and I was allowed to go to Roundup in Montana. And the speaker that day addressed that why question, and he made it so simple. Why is management and you are not management? The question you need is what and when and how. So I try to keep it simple and remember why questions are management, and I am not in management. Thanks. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Donna P. from Montana. And Janice K., you're up.
Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. I'm, as far as why and the riddle goes, I'm going to refer to an earlier paragraph. I think it was a couple of days ago we read through the one, actually it might have been a couple of weeks ago, we read through the one that says, there must be discussion of things medical, psychiatric, social, and religious, because they all touch on the disease. Why am I the way I am? Well, I am who I am because, partly and in large part, because of my genetics. That determines the biochemistry, the stuff that my my earth suit, okay, the one that my heart, soul, whatever, the one that I inhabit takes me, is prone to. And it determines my biochemistry. As far as the sociology of food goes, oh, that's a fun one. I remember when good food was defined by the amount of trigger ingredients or where it fell on my trigger food chart instead of my healthy food chart. There are, and sociology of food, don't waste it, don't get caught sneaking it. That was one too. Psychiatric, in behavioral terms, psychiatric is fine if you can be held responsible for the final result. When it comes to food, I'm out of control and I can't. Psychiatric in terms of biochemistry, my observation is it seems to be a matter of try this one and we'll see if it works. Come back in 6 months and let me know. Religious, I tried that hard. The definition that makes sense to me on religion is those are the rules and regs you follow to make God happy. Spirituality happens when we realize God's happiness is not dependent on us. That I'm just glad that an entity of that size is well disposed toward me. I'm very grateful for that. And one of the things I found in my ventures in spirituality is the rest of this stuff doesn't matter. God can take care of the rest of this stuff within reason, within certain limits. If you need outside help, for Pete's sake, get outside help. If you need daily medication, then take daily medication.
Janice, that's time.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and the answer to all of it is spirituality, I guess.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice Kate. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Lorraine N., as in Nancy, in Oregon.
Gotcha, Lorraine.
Larry G. from California.
Got you, Larry. Who else? We can take a couple more. probably take about three or four more names. If people are thinking about it, we'll start here with Lorraine N., followed by Larry G. Lorraine, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in recovery in Oregon. And welcome to everybody on the line, especially those new and struggling. This was one of the best things that happened for me when I came to program, that I could stop asking why, because it tells us right in the book that there is no answer to this riddle. And for years, I asked myself why I was, you know, the way I was. Why did I eat like that? Why couldn't I just push myself away from the table like people said? And why? If I took one bite, it turned into a binge and I was sick for days. You know, I've been through the ringer with this disease. And, you know, coming to visions in particular is where I really began to find my recovery. It was just such a relief that I don't have to beat myself up over this anymore. And I don't have to wallow in self-pity. Yeah, I have this thing. I don't like it. I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. You know, but I have a neighbor right next door to me who's 10 years younger than me and in a wheelchair with MS. So she has that. I don't have that, thank God. So I have this to contend with. And I don't do this program perfectly. I really want to make that clear. I'm not one of these people on here that has perfect, whatever their abstinence is. You know, I have neutrality around food 90% of the time, and that is a miracle in my life, a miracle. And I'm just eternally grateful. And I need this program for more than just food, way more than just food. I need this program to live my life in a kinder, softer way than I did before I got here. And this program just keeps me on the beam of trying to be a decent human being. And so there's so much more here than the food. And I ask for assistance all day long. I talk to my higher power. And that was one of the best things my first sponsor taught me, to ask for help, ask God. I would call her to ask her a question, and she'd say, "Did you ask God?" And I'd say, "No, I'm calling you to ask you." But she finally trained me to sit and ask, and that is the best thing. You know, one of the best things, my meditation practice. So if you're struggling, hang in there. I'm available for outreach, Lorraine in Oregon. And thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. from Oregon. And Larry G., you're up.
Yeah, good morning, moderator. My name's Larry G., and I'm from California. I love the fact that one of the things I love most about 12-step is that it's simple. It's a simple program for complicated people like myself, but it's simple. And we do overcomplicate. I do overcomplicate things. And I believe there's a simple, for me, there's a simple answer. I ask the question why when I am surrendered. The unsurrendered mind asks the question why. The surrendered mind asked the question, how? Before I got absent in 2020, I'd be asking the question, you know, why can't I eat, you know, hot fudge sundaes and not lose weight? And lose weight. How come, why do I have to go to two or three meetings a week? Why can't I just go to one and stay absent? And on and on. And I wasn't desperate. I had not surrendered. I was asking the question, I'm trying to figure things out. An insane mind is trying to figure out through a sane answer, come up with a sane answer. And the insane mind cannot come up with a sane answer. Today, I don't ask the question why. I made a decision when I came into vision that I was going to forget everything I knew about this program and pretend like you guys knew more about it than I did. I took a beginner's mind, and I stopped asking the question why, and I believe it's because I was desperate. The desperate person who has surrendered is not asking why, they're asking how. In fact, we have an entire chapter of how it works. We're going to get to that pretty soon. And in that chapter, it tells me how to do this. And when I am working with somebody today that they have what I want, I'm not asking a question. Why I'm asking how. I called a members program yesterday, and I have a challenge working with people. I don't play very well with other children in the sandbox. I never have. And I'm in a position where I need to do that. And so I called somebody, and I just listened. You know, I asked the question, and I listened. I put the cot in my ears, and I just listened. I want to listen and learn. And I have comfort and peace of mind today because I follow those directions. I hope to God I never go back to asking the question why. If I do, I'll be in relapse and dying one more time. And we've heard people on this call today what it was like and what it's like now. And I want this precious abstinence more than anything else. And my mind wants to complicate things. And I work hard each day. And being a beginner all over, it's just an absolute mystery, and it's absolute joy and adventure. And with that, I pass to you, moderator.
Thank you so much, Larry G. And we have time for a couple more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Who would like to share? Please give your first name and last initial.
Chris S. from Wyoming.
I'm sorry, what was that? One more time, Chris.
S is in Sam.
S. All right, got you, Chris. Who else would like to share?
Nancy L. in Southern California.
I've got you, Nancy L.
Christina M.
Christina M. Okay. We can fit all three. I've got Chris S. followed by Nancy L. and then Christina M. And please let us know where you're calling from. Chris, you're up.
I am from Wyoming. I'd almost like to be anonymous because when I hear the word why, and I hear it a lot when my alcoholic father and I would make his behavior, and when my brothers and I would make excuse for their behaviors, would cause me to think, why are they doing this to themselves? And then I got to the point where I thought it was an excuse. They used alcohol as their crutch, and I hear now, and this is the anonymous part of me, is I hear people now share with me, and I have to remember, it's not an excuse. It can be, but it doesn't have to be an excuse if they want to move past that into the how. And as we've heard before, how do we get past that? And that's what I like to focus on when I'm concerned about what my behaviors and what I'm doing that caused me to overeat because I'm a chocoholic. I have to remember it's not about why I'm doing this. It is about what I want to do about this problem. What action am I willing to take? And it's not always easy for me to remember that that's my focus, is what am I going to do about this? Because I want to focus on the why did this happen to me? Why is it not in the rest of my family? Why were they alcoholics? It's not about that. It's about moving forward and finding the solution and working the program. And I am so thankful that I've been led to this program and I found a higher power that allows me to work with him personally. And I touch base with him every day and I get through each day just because he's with me. And that's all I have, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Chris S. from Wyoming. Next up is Nancy L., followed by Christina M., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Nancy L. from Riverside, California. When I think of the why question, I think of my children and when I was a child, and it was, why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that? And sometimes the answers are very complicated, or sometimes we just don't know the answer. And ultimately, a lot of times, like in this case, the answer doesn't matter. I mean, it's fun to talk about it, but it doesn't solve the problem. Identifying it does not produce the answer. But there's a story of a man who had an issue, and it was something he wanted removed, and he would ask God repeatedly to remove it. And God says, no, you're going to depend on me. So when I asked God why I was a compulsive eater, his answer was, because it's the only way you're going to depend on me every day. If you didn't have this problem, you would not depend on me every day. You would depend on yourself. And we saw how that, where that got you. So for me, that's my answer. Why? My answer is so that I stay close to my higher power, so I can depend on him instead of myself. So thank you for letting me share and have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from California. And Christina M., you're up next. Let us know where you're calling from.
Thanks so much, Stephanie, for your service. Hi, everyone. My name is Christina, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I'm just adding to what everybody has shared. I don't know that I have anything super deep to add, but I just echo, you know, why does he behave like this? I spent decades trying to understand why. I thought that if I could understand why I was a compulsive overeater, why I did, you know, just from such an early age, these completely disordered behaviors and thoughts and attitudes about food, that, you know, I just was consumed by this from such an age. And I thought if I could understand why and figure it out, then I could just get on with life. And, you know, like other people have shared, I spent many, many years in therapy trying to understand this, read everything, you know, every self-help book I could get my hands on. And even after coming to OA, even in the rooms of OA, I thought that somehow OA was going to teach me why, and that would answer my problem. And I think it was really only, I was in and out of the rooms for many years. I came back about 3.5 years ago, and I, you know, was just out of ideas, like trying to figure out why was not working anymore, and it never did. And when I came to this meeting in particular, and I heard people say that it is not necessary to understand why in order to recover, that I can recover without understanding why I do this. And that was like this very simple light bulb moment where I was able to be like, okay, fine. What do I have to lose if I don't figure out why and I just follow the directions that all these other recovered people are giving me? Let's see what happens. So just, you know, what's the worst that can happen? It can't be any worse than where I am now. And that was like the beginning of something for me. It was just understanding that I don't have to understand why. There are many paradoxes of recovery for me, but one of them is that in letting go of trying to understand why I am going through the steps and getting recovered, I feel like I understand why more, I have more clarity about why I am this way, but I don't need it because it doesn't really matter anymore. I just know that I need this program. I need a relationship with a higher power. And I don't really, like someone else earlier shared, you know, I don't have to question it anymore. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to question it. And that's such a relief. It's just like this huge burden and weight lifted off my shoulder. So really grateful to be here. Thanks everyone for doing service, and I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Christina M. from Massachusetts, and we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sherry Z., will you please read a vision for you?
It's my pleasure. Thank you all for your service. This is Sherry, recovered in Southern California, and this is a vision for you, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.